Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, what do Monty Python, a Canadian pig farmer's wife, and Luke 17 have to do with the 50th anniversary of LSF ministry in Victoria? I hope by the end of this sermon that that question will not be such a mystery to you. Keep tabs on each of those three things as I go. I want to present to you tonight Arms for an Ex-Leper, a Theology of Thanksgiving for a Borderline Community, as a Thanksgiving sermon for 50 years of God's work through tertiary ministry in the Victorian district of the LCA. We read in Luke chapter 17 that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Now, in Luke's gospel, Jesus being on his way to Jerusalem is actually code language for Jesus going to suffer and die. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. This story of the 10 lepers has many parallels, I believe, and can give to us a theology and a practice of thanksgiving as a community and as a group of God's people. Tertiary ministry is borderline. Tertiary ministry will always be marginal. It will never be at the center. Chaplaincy will never be at the center of the university. Tertiary ministry will never be at the center of the church's work. In fact, tertiary ministry exists in that space in between the church and the world. And so as Jesus is walking along the border between the good guys, the Israelites who live in Galilee, and the bad guys, the rest of the world, those evil Samaritans, he can teach us something about our own lives as people who live within a borderline community. Actually, tertiary ministry exists at the interface, that place where the inside meets the outside. It's right on the edge. And that's actually a really good thing. It's not a bad thing. Because in the interface between the church and the world, the most interesting things happen. And in fact, the most interesting of all of those things is that it is Jesus who walks along the borders. It is Jesus whose ministry always takes him into the marginal places. It is Jesus who walks along the borderlines and invites people who are both outside and inside to come to him. And this is what we find here in this passage. Jesus is walking along the border between Galilee and Samaria. In fact, just to go back a step, in this interface in tertiary ministry, I had a most interesting experience a couple of weeks ago. On Wednesday afternoon at 12:30, I sit in the RMIT cafe with a bowl of red frogs and a sign that says, "Free frogs and conversation. Chaplain at work. Please disturb." And I just sit there. And I wait to see what happens. And this is very much interface place between the inside and the outside. Well, a couple of weeks ago, a young man came up and he introduced himself as Connor. And Connor and I got talking, and it turns out that Connor is a militant atheist. And Connor said to me, "Give me some of your evidence why you believe that God exists." So I tried, and Connor didn't listen. And I tried again, and Connor didn't listen again. This is the kind of thing that happens in the interface, that place between the inside and the outside, between the church and the world. We are drawn into very interesting conversations and very interesting relationships. And we know that in the midst of that, that Jesus is there before us and with us. Because Jesus didn't stay safely on the inside, he risked himself and he went to the marginal places, to the borderlines. So if LSF and tertiary ministry in Victoria is always going to be marginal, that means that it always needs to be centred around the presence and the work of Jesus with us. And it is. Jesus is here. He's at work. He's been doing amazing things for 50 years and more among Lutheran tertiary students and others. The story goes on. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, here's an interesting thing. Jesus comes to cleanse everybody, willy-nilly. Those who return to give thanks and those who do not. Those who will recognize his grace and those who won't. Jesus comes to cleanse everybody. And in fact, in his death on the cross, he says that he will draw all people to himself. So in the interface, we are actually living and working among people who have already been forgiven by the love of God shown through Jesus. Redeemed, cleansed, and yet most of them are not even aware of that fact. Cleansing from leprosy was an incredibly important thing in Israel. There's even regulations to be found for how to be declared clean from leprosy in that most exciting of books, the book of Leviticus. But to be cleansed was to be returned to community. I'm glad someone laughed about that. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Joe. To be cleansed is to be returned to community, because when you were a leper, you could not live among clean people. You were unclean. You actually had to have a bell and to walk around saying, "unclean, unclean," and to live outside of the cities so that other people would not catch your disease. To be cleansed from leprosy is to be restored and healed and made whole, and in fact, to be made into ex-lepers. And this is where Monty Python comes in. As I was thinking about this passage, I could not help but think of that marvellous but highly irreverent movie, The Life of Brian. And so there are actually two ways that an ex-leper can respond to their cleansing, and I'd like to show you the first of them from Monty Python's The Life of Brian. However, I warn you that there is some strong language in this clip. Please don't be offended. I hope you're all adults and able to handle it.
Arms for a leper!
Arms for a leper!
Arms for an ex-leper!
Bloody bulky owners, all the same, ain't they? Never have any change. Oh, here's a
cut. Spare a talent for an old ex-leper?
Buzz off!
Spare a talent for an old ex-leper?
A talent? That's more than he earns in a month!
Half a talent, then. Now go away! Come on, big nose, let's haggle.
What?
All right, cut the haggling. Say you open at 1 shekel, I start at 2,000, we close about 1,800.
No.
1,750.
Go away!
1,740.
But will you leave him alone?
All right, 2 shekels, just two. Is this fun, eh?
Look, he's not giving you any money, so piss off!
All right, so my final offer, half a shekel for an old ex-leper.
Did you say ex-leper?
That's right, sir. 16 years behind the bell. I'm proud of it, sir.
Well, what happened?
Oh, cured, sir.
Cured?
Yes, a bloody miracle, sir. God bless you.
Well, who cured you?
Jesus did, sir. I was hopping along, minding my own business. All of a sudden, up he comes, cures me. 1 minute I'm a leper with a trade, next minute my livelihood's gone. Not so much as a by your leave.
You're cured, mate. Bloody do-gooder.
Well, why don't you go and tell him that you want to be a leper again?
Oh, I could do that, sir, yeah. Yeah, I could do that, I suppose. What I was thinking, I was going to ask him if he'd make me a bit lame in one leg during the middle of the week. You know, something beggable, but not leprosy, which is a pain in the ass, to be blunt. Excuse my French, sir, but...
Brian! Come and clean your room out!
There you are.
Thank you, sir, thank you. Half a denarii, me bloody life story!
There's no pleasing some people.
That's just what Jesus said, sir!
there's no pleasing some people. That's just what Jesus said. This is one of the ways that an ex-leper can respond. To see the presence of Jesus as merely an annoyance in terms of making a livelihood or living the life that you want to live. And to go around saying, alms for an ex-leper, alms for an ex... That's a great line, I love it. Alms for an ex-leper, not to be grateful. There's no pleasing some people. That's just what Jesus said. And in fact, when Jesus heals these 10 lepers, 9 of them disappear, perhaps to go and ply their trade, as this man did, as ex-lepers on the streets of Jerusalem. And yet, one of them, 10%, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he was a Samaritan. Unthanks. That's what that ex-leper in the Monty Python clip shows, if I can invent a word. Unthanks. Jesus' presence becomes a hindrance and an irritation. Unthanks may be on the receiving end of a miracle, just as that man was, but will never see it and never recognize it for what it is. And so unthanks, ungratefulness, misses out on God's grace. But the Samaritan ex-leper, on the other hand, his response is completely different. His response of thanksgiving actually glorifies God. And it draws him into the resurrection life of Jesus and into his salvation. He recognizes the work of God comes through the person and presence of Jesus. And so he puts his trust in Jesus. And that's what Jesus says to him. At the end of the passage, Jesus said to the Samaritan man, "Rise and go, your faith has saved you." The Greek word there that's translated "made you well" in the NIV can actually also be translated "saved." So how has this man's faith saved him? How has his thankfulness drawn him into the new life which God offers? This is where the wife of the Canadian pig farmer comes in. Anne Voskamp is, as I said, the wife of a man in Canada who farms pigs, and she's written a transformative book called 1,000 Gifts. And this is about a theology of thankfulness, about how giving thanks for God's gifts draws us deeper into God's grace. Anne lost a sister when she was very young, when she was about 4 years old. The sister was run over in the driveway of the farm. Anne struggled with anxiety and depression throughout her growing up and teenage years. She used to cut herself, inflict self-harm so that she could get away from the hurt and the pain of her life. And Anne writes these words about trust. "If I believe, then I must let go and trust. Belief in God has to be more than mental assent, more than a cliched exercise in cognition. Even the demons believe. What is saving belief if it isn't the radical dare to wholly trust? I read it in one of the thick commentaries that 220 times that word pistuo is used in the New Testament, most often translated as belief. But it changes everything when I read that pistuo ultimately means to put one's faith in, to trust. Belief is a verb, something that you do. Then a true saving faith is a faith that gives thanks, a faith that sees God, a faith that deeply trusts." And that's exactly what the Samaritan man did. He saw the miracle. He came back to give thanks, and he put his trust in the truth that Jesus is the one through whom God is at work in this world. One more short part from Anne Voskamp's book. I read the verse several times in the Amplified Bible on an afternoon while young hands work scales up and down the piano keys. Jesus replied, "This is the work, service, that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. That's my daily work, the work God asks of me, to trust. To trust in the Son, to trust in the wisdom of this moment, to trust in now. And trust is that, it's work, the work of trusting love. Sometimes I don't want to muster the energy. Stress and anxiety seem easier. But I must ask, and I do, out loud, isn't joy worth the effort of trust?" So for a group of people who lives in a borderline community, we can enter into thanksgiving and trust that even in this moment, whatever the difficulty may be, that God will provide for us through his Son Jesus, that God will cleanse us and forgive us and make us whole and give us everything that we need, including life itself, to do what God is calling us to do. LSF has been under threat many, many times in its history. But always God comes through. People of God, let us be people of thanksgiving, like the Samaritan leper, so that we may enter into a saving faith, a trusting belief that God is at work here in the marginal places, in the interfaces, in the border route, in the borderlines. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was reminded that my leprosy, my failings, are actually the cause, not the cause, but they are the reason that God can exercise his grace in my life. And so I wrote these words in my journal. Yes, I am an ex-leper. I will forever be marked both by my affliction and by its cure. Thank you, Jesus, that you come into the borderline places in my life. Thank you that my uncleanness is grounds for your grace. Thank you for calling me and us to a ministry on the border between the church and the world in the university chaplaincy and in LSF. Of the 10 whose lives our journey touches, perhaps only one will glorify God by returning to give thanks to Jesus. Maybe I only see the miracle 10% of the time. Maybe God can open our eyes to see the miracle more than 10% of the time and to give thanks for it. Oops, wrong way. So, we have two options. Arms for an ex-leper. We can enter into anxiety and lack of trust in God. We can fail to return to give thanks for the fact that God has worked in Jesus. Or thanks from an ex-leper. Perhaps as members of a borderline community, we can give thanks to God at each moment and trust fully that in Jesus, God will give us all that we need as a community of his people who lives right there on the margins. Remembering that it's only because we're on the borderline that God can call those who are outside to Jesus, as he has done with us. Will you join me in being a thankful ex-leper and living in a borderline community right on the edge where Jesus is? And where he is to be found, and where he's working. Thanks be to God for his great grace and mercy to us. Amen.